Well, good afternoon, everybody out there listening to the Brian Chronicles. This is Phyllis, filling in for Kelly this week. We have a very special guest today, Barbara Aho, and we've enjoyed every time that she comes on. She's just so full of information, and I'm going to turn it over to her right now. Barbara, you there?
Yes, thank you, Phyllis. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'll try to speak loud.
Okay, just speak into the phone and take it from here.
All right, thank you. I'd like to talk today about the tribulation counterfeits. That is, those major factors in the tribulation which the occult societies will counterfeit in order to deceive the masses. And I'd like to start with two scriptures in Matthew, two words of warning that Jesus spoke to his disciples. Matthew 7:13-14, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." And in Matthew 24:24, he admonished, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets that shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And here we see that the masses, the many, are deceived, whereas it is only the few who manage to escape deception. And we have our Lord's warning here that this is the case and that we need to beware. And I want to talk about how the end-time conspirators manage to pull this massive deception off, where the masses of people are deceived and only a few manage to escape deception. And I want to start by talking about some of the dynamics that have gone on prior to when these counterfeits will come on the world stage. I want to talk, first of all, about the dialectical process, which is used as a mind control operation. The idea of the dialectical process is to mobilize popular opinion and then to transform it into an instrument of revolution. What they do, what the conspirators do, is to polarize the masses, and then they control and direct both sides until the desired synthesis is achieved. Now, this strategy has been imposed on every sector of society, not just the past few years, but for centuries, even millennia. They have been using this mind control operation to brainwash the masses, and the sad fact is that very few are immune to the dialectical process, because we all have our opinions, we all have our biases, we all have our belief systems that we hold to, and we tend to think in terms of black and white, good and evil. It never occurs to us that the same people might be controlling both sides of an issue with the purpose of bringing about conflict and then inserting into this conflict their own solution. So I want to just give some examples. Of course, we're all aware of the controversy, the controlled conflict between right and left, between ultra-conservative and liberal, and the political parties in our own country, the United States. But how many people are aware that in the late 19th century, the House of Rothschild sent Jacob Schiff to the United States to gain control of both the Republican and Democratic parties? Now, what we have seen over the past 100 years has been this dialectical process in operation. The political, our rulers, our senators, our congressmen, what they do is to agitate their own constituents with a lot of rhetoric, but things are only getting worse. And the situation we see today is that there's really not much difference between the Republican and Democratic parties. And yet, your average Republican and your average Democrat is holding fast to the principles that they believe, little realizing that the conflict is managed and will come to a solution that neither of them really wants or believes in. The same thing happened with communism and fascism. Jacob Schiff, along with the Rothschilds and the Warburgs, planned and financed the Russian Revolution. Now, the Nazi Revolution was also financed by Rothschild and Warburg, along with Averill Harriman and Prescott Bush. But here you have the same powerful power elites controlling these two powerful ideologies that have transformed the world. And, of course, they have an agenda. They are going to bring about a world totalitarian government under themselves. Now, today we see the conflict between the Muslims and the Jews. And your average man in the street thinks that the Muslims just hate the Jews and vice versa. But how many people know that Albert Pike wrote a letter to Giuseppe Mazzini, who was the head of Italian Freemasonry, actually stating that World War III would be brought about by agitating the Muslims against the Jews. He said the Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agency of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. Now, he wrote this in 1871. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, and in parentheses, the State of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Now, keep in mind that at that time, the State of Israel was not even in existence, but the Freemasons knew the plan and what was going to happen and how they were going to bring it about through the dialectical process. And then he goes on to state, meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economic exhaustion. So they knew that this conflict between Muslim and Jew was going to draw in the whole world into a world war that would serve their ends. Now, we also see today the agitation going on by the Muslim between the Muslims and the Christians. And that, too, has been entirely provoked and controlled. It's a controlled conflict. Years ago, we began to see, or at least I began to notice, the anti-Muslim propaganda coming into the Christian community and in the churches, and horrible reports of Muslim atrocities against Christians. And of course, none of it was documented, but the Christians in the United States and probably other parts of the world have been propagandized to believe that the Muslims are all terrorists, that their Quran preaches violence. And while I'm not in any way condoning Islam, a lot of this is simply not true, but in the same way, the Muslims have been brainwashed to believe that the Christians are all terrorists, that we approve, that we all approve of this war of aggression in the Middle East. And so you have the Muslims versus the Christian dialectic going on. Then, during the Protestant Reformation, what was in play there was the dialectical operation. Catholic versus Protestant. And few Christians understand what really was going on at that time. The Pope, in the Reformation Pope, Leo X, was actually Giovanni Medici. The House of Medici was a Jewish, very wealthy Jewish house. And the Pope, Pope Leo, simply became intransigent against Martin Luther and his demands. And, of course, there's some questions about Martin Luther as well and his motives. Not that I am in any way for the doctrines of the Catholic Church, but I want to read what one Merovingian Jewish website has to say about the Reformation. In one fell swoop, the Christian world was cleft in twain. No longer would Rome be able to raise great armies from its subject nations to crush heresies wherever the papal finger pointed. There was no longer just one big boy on the block. Another had moved in. The mightiest church in the world that the world had ever known had been divided and conquered. And this is the